Welcome to Big Brave Business. This is a podcast built on the belief that you can create absolutely anything for yourself. Whether it's a dream job or a dream life, it's all possible for you.
I'm Amanda Nelson, a virtual assistant and digital marketer. And that's Sarah Heater, podcast producer and strategic consultant. Each week, we will share insights from working with dozens of clients, stories of how we got where we are, and encourage you to see us as your new business besties.
So grab a cup of coffee and let's talk being brave in business.
Welcome back to Big Brave Business. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm having a good day, which always feels good. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really, really okay. It does feel like we talked about this. Can we just normalize saying that? Not really great,
like,
but really.
It's like us that are like world's okayest, whatever.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just, you know, we're really okay today. Things are good. Things have been busy. We talked about it in just a very recent episode that we have been on launch city lately. Everybody is launching something. Mm-hmm. So this week has been a little crazy, but all good things. Yeah. I'm excited to chat about what we're talking about today, which was inspired by an upcoming episode on our YouTube channel where we talk about having hobbies as entrepreneurs and why is it so freaking hard to have hobbies. First of all, as you're an adult. Second of all, when you're an entrepreneur and you have that spirit. So Sarah, what's your hobbies?
Yeah. So I want to take that a step further and say the reason. So the two reasons there that Amanda's hitting on of why it's hard is A, because as adults, we tend to abandon a lot of hobbies anyway. But B, as entrepreneurs, we're thinking about how we can monetize everything. So our hobbies all become side hustles.
It's so hard.
My gut says, like, if somebody were to ask me my hobbies, I would say, like, I'm an avid Girl Scout volunteer and I host a podcast, which is not monetized. It's just a podcast. And sometimes I think about abandoning it because it's not a business. So it's like, this is just a time suck, which is the reason why we don't have hobbies, right? But I do host a podcast for troop leaders called The Troop Leader Experience. And I love Girl Scouts. I love what it stands for. And I'd love to be even more involved than I am. I'm actually, by the time this airs, I'm going to be sitting on a new committee for my local council to help girls with high earning what's called high awards. It's like going above and beyond basically the standard program. That's a whole other conversation. But I am going to be sitting on a committee to help girls in fourth and fifth grade do that. And I'm excited for that. But with that being said, because I do have the podcast and I teach podcasting, like it's literally what I do. I do also have like a Facebook group for that community. I also have an Etsy shop that I sell to that community. I'm like hosting these Zoom. They're free right now. Well, these will always be free, but these Zoom calls with new volunteers to help them get onboarded. And I have an email list. We email them every week. Like there's definitely some priming going on to be able to like build more things out for that community. So yeah, that's what my gut says my hobby is. But yes, I am also very business minded about it. And then the other like main hobby I would think of is reading. I love to read and I do read some like development books, but I also read a lot of fiction. So that's what comes up for me, like my gut of these are my hobbies. What about you?
First of all, let me circle back to you. The Girl Scout thing is incredible. It's not only a hobby that you enjoy, but it's also giving back to your community. So you're going to knock this way out of the park compared to me, who does absolutely nothing that does not benefit me, myself,
and
I. That's
so normal, though. Most people don't.
Well, yes. So kudos to you because you're doing something incredible. Well, thank you. You're very welcome. Hobbies for me, of course, reading. I have tried to monetize that in the past. I'm just going to go through all the hobbies that I enjoy and what I've monetized over the years. So photography was something that I did from a very young age. I paid for a lot of my college. When I was in college, I paid for a good bit of it doing photography. And then when I was on my own in my 20s, trying to like pay the bills, I was a second shooter at weddings, which, by the way, is my own personal version of hell. Can you even imagine what it's like to be a photographer at a wedding? Spoiler alert, it's horrible.
The only reason I can is because one of the podcasts we produce is the Motherhood Anthology, TMA. They are a motherhood photography community and they like coach photographers. And a huge theme on that show is photographers who were wedding photographers and want to find a new niche.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I'm like, yeah, I hear that.
It is the absolute worst. I can't. Okay. We could have a whole other podcast with stories about why it's the worst thing ever. I have some very interesting and incredible stories from that experience. But down here in the South, where weddings are, you know, 500 people affairs, you know, multiple $100,000 weddings, they're huge down here in the South. It is absolutely the worst experience of my life. Okay. So I monetized that hobby. If I could monetize my writing hobby, I would in a heartbeat. I love to cook and I love food photography too. And as we all, I think I've mentioned briefly on the show before, I tried to launch a lifestyle blog at the end of last year, I think it was, and very quickly realized I don't have time to do this because I went into it with the mindset of I'm going to monetize this instead of it being fun. And quickly it was like, it wasn't something that was sustainable. Now that I have so much more experiences with business, I could do it so much better. So in a way, I'm happy
didn't. But also, it's the timing of things because you launched that right when your business just like blew up.
Yeah, it's very true. And we had just moved and I put a lot of pressure. You had
a lot going on.
I did, in my defense, but I also put a lot of pressure on myself to get it out at a certain time because I had so many awesome supportive people pushing me to do it. And I do still think there's a lot of really great opportunities there. But if I could monetize that, I certainly would. But other hobbies, as I've mentioned before, I love to paint furniture, but I did that for a business for about 5 years. So I'm not a really great glowing example as having hobbies as an adult. Now my hobbies are really like watching TV with my husband, and I read all the time. I mean, I read all the time. I love books, but that's probably it.
I think that really is the exact mindset I have about it too, though, because anything I enjoy doing, I'm always thinking like, oh, I like that. Could I build a business around it? And also I do that to other people. Anybody in my life tells me they like something. I'm like, here's how you could monetize that, including my children, which I'm like trying to back off of that because one thing, and we talked about this a little bit on this upcoming YouTube video, but both my stepsons love video games, but one in particular is really good at video games. And we have talked to him multiple times of like, why don't you stream? Why don't you start a streaming channel? Why don't you do this? Like, you could create a business off of this, especially because he's definitely, I mean, he's Gen Z, so he's definitely like in that kind of like lost puppy. What the hell am I going to do? I don't want to be part of the capitalist wheel. But
yeah,
he's like, what do I want to do with my life? And I'm like, good, monetize this. You love video games. And he's like, oh, I really want to just keep that as something I do because I love it. And I'm like, my mind is blown. Like, I don't even understand what that means. Wouldn't you love it more if you made money doing it? It's like how I live my life. But I'm trying to back off and just let him love what he loves and let him make his own decisions about what he wants to do. Like, I don't put all of that in his head, but that's absolutely how I feel about it. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. My husband is an avid outdoorsman. He's a salesman, so he has a naturally very charismatic personality, and he knows how to turn it on for a camera. And I tried for the longest time to try to convince him to be an outdoorsman
YouTuber
influencer. I was like, you'd be so good at it. I will help you manage your stuff. I will take your photos. I even got him out there and took some video and photos. He was so good. He loves what he does. Why am I trying to make him make money doing something that he absolutely loves? But he would be so good at it. He'd be so good at it, but it's okay. It's a missed opportunity. See, it's not a missed opportunity because he still loves it. I have to switch that in my brain.
One of my closest friends is really good at like floral arrangements, and she makes these wreaths for herself, for her house, seasonally, right? And switches out the wreath on her door, and she like makes them, and they're beautiful, beautiful. And every time she makes a new one, I'm like, you should make these and sell them. I mean, I can't help myself. Like everybody that I talk to, they tell me they like something or they're good at something. They're like, how can we monetize this? Let's do it.
I went through a season where I really wanted to, and I still do. Like, I think it'd be so fun. And this might be my fourth act in life, and I'm a little old lady. I wanted to have a, you're going to laugh because this is so random. I wanted to have a painted sugar cookie business. You've seen the sugar cookies that are like super detailed. I wanted to do that for the longest time. And I did it, and it was so fun. But when I started to learn how much work goes into making into a business, it immediately took all the joy out of it for me. Like, immediately.
You know who else did that briefly? I don't know for how long. Is Eva. She sent me, Eva Miller, one of our PodFox clients. She sent me a care package for my birthday that had a bunch of inappropriate cookies that she
painted. Of course she did.
Yeah, I know. Well, she asked me what shapes I wanted, and she sent me a bunch of like things she'd done in the past, because I was like, I didn't know you did this cookie decorating. She's like, yeah, I used to have a business. And she had sent me several examples, and one example was inappropriate. I was like, that's the one I want. That will make us laugh so much. Like, please do that. They were like penises, and they were rainbow and fun, and I loved them. But anyways, yeah, so she also does that. That's so interesting to me. I like have never. Does it still count as a hobby if you monetize it? Like, what's the difference between, like, what classifies as a hobby?
I think a hobby is something you don't make money from, in my opinion.
I mean, I just don't know if I'll ever have any of those truly, except for reading, because like I feel like my brain is just always working that way. My next question was going to be, if you could have a hobby, like, if you were going to make it a commitment to have a hobby, what would you want your hobby to be? But all the things that were popping into my head are like, how could I monetize that? So I don't know. But anyways, if you could have any hobbies, like, is there anything you're interested in that you've always wanted to try that sounds fun?
That's a really good question. I do also want to point out that this all comes from the capitalist mentality that time is money. That's where this all comes from. An upbringing, which I could go down that rabbit hole, but we won't. So if I could have a hobby that I could just do and not monetize, would I do it? First of all, yes. Second of all, what would it be? I would probably do theater again. I think that would be fun. I've often thought about auditioning. We have some really great local theater here in Mobile, and I've thought multiple times about auditioning. I just know how much time commitment that is.
Totally.
And I want to be able to show up in a real way if I'm going to do it. So probably that would be a big one. And then I would love to invest more time. I'm also realizing that a lot of my hobbies revolve around Drew, my husband. Like, I read more during seasons where there's stuff on TV that he wants to watch, like football, things like that. I read like, I don't know, 30 books a football season because I don't care about that. You know, I care about the snacks. So I think, and it's also like, I was going to say that I would love to do more cooking classes, but Drew and I do cooking and cocktail classes all the time. We're actually doing one next week locally, but I do that because he wants to go with me, and it's me being intentional about my time with him. I have nothing that is solely mine, which is why I'm hoping that me getting back into writing more will be like my thing. But even that, I notice I'm moving time and availability around him. Very interesting also.
I mean, I guess that's part of partnership too.
True. And trying to be intentional about the fact that I do work a lot and I do want to invest in our relationship. So there has to be some kind of cohesion there. So if you could try anything, what would it be?
A big thing that I've wanted to do is go to culinary school, but I've never wanted to work in a professional kitchen. That doesn't appeal to me whatsoever. I just want to feel really confident about an advanced level of skills. So like cooking classes in general would be fun, but I have done, I guess, a few in my life, but like literally culinary school, like that is something that has been on my mind. I think some more travel would be a big one that I really, really want to get more into and focus on more.
You could start a travel blog, Sarah. You could start a travel blog.
I know, right? In the past, I had such limited PTO. And even if I had unlimited PTO in like a quote unquote real job, in a corporate job, you couldn't just take all the time you want. You had commitments, right? And responsibilities in your role. And so I couldn't just travel like that. Now that I make my own schedule and I can do anything I want and I'm responsible primarily to myself, but of course to my clients, I could work from anywhere. But it's been a pandemic, right? Like, I started my business and then there was a global pandemic and everything shut down. So, and then we kind of got into this rhythm of just being home. So I know things have been opened back up. Travel has been pretty open for a little while now, not a super long time. There's still different countries have different like restrictions and things, but it's much more open than now. So I want to make that definitely a focus. And I think I could do that without monetizing it. Although, of course, I would like post to Instagram stories, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of your personal brand, is like sharing your life. But yeah, that would be a big one. I would definitely like to write more, but for sure, I've like had this dream since I was a kid. We've talked about this, of like, I would love have a book published, and mm-hmm. really I'm thinking fiction. Like, I'd love to have a fiction book. So that wouldn't be related to my business, like Podfox business or being an entrepreneur, but that is still monetizing. I mean, not that I wouldn't probably make much money off of it. Most people don't, but a girl can dream. And yeah, theater would be one for me too, but I agree with you. It's like the time commitment is huge, but I really miss that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Really miss that. It's funny how many of those things we have in common, though.
I didn't know you were a theater person.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Total.
What's theater. Your favorite musical?
Probably this is going to be a weirdly unpopular thing. So if you're like not a theater kid, you may not even know this. But How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying is probably my favorite. Mainstream stuff, I mean, Wicked and Rent, of course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying is probably my favorite. My favorite like show that I was in, I mean, I, as a sophomore in high school, had the lead in Our Town, but not that I love that play so much. I just loved that I was the lead as a sophomore. The seniors did not love it. So it was not like a totally positive experience, but the acting part was lovely. And okay, this is like such a side tangent. Can I share this to you? A senior I did not know, which was unusual because I lived in a really small town, senior I did not know was on the tech crew. And because he watched me in like audition or not auditions, in rehearsals and everything, and then obviously at the actual performance, he like had a crush on me, and I actually got a boyfriend, a senior boyfriend.
Oh, because, ooh la la.
Yeah, which was it was a very lonely time in my life, actually, because the senior theater kids were very not happy that a sophomore got the lead, and they were very bullying. It was a bad bullying time, but I was very lonely, but I stuck with it, and like it kind of paid off. Anyways, that's a really weird side tangent story, but now you know a personal story about me. You're welcome. Okay. I just posted on Threads, who needs therapy when you can start a podcast and just unload your emotional baggage on the internet? So there you go. And then I was also in Once Upon a Mattress, which was a very fun musical. That was probably my other favorite show that I got to do. But I never, only in school. I never did it outside of school. Mm. But gotcha. I loved it. And gotcha. Speech. I was a speech kid. It was speech and debate team, but I did not do debate. I did speech. So that was also performance. I did prose, which was like 10-minute like monologue mm-hmm. performance. And I was a state champion in Pennsylvania.
I don't doubt that at all. You're such a good speaker.
I loved any performing. I still do. That's why I like giving webinars and stuff. Like, I love it.
That's awesome. So, yeah. What is
Wait, what's your favorite musical? No, stop. Oh. What's your favorite? No, stop. Oh. I need to know your favorite musical. For any other theater kids listening, they need to know.
Yeah, so I'll tell you my recent favorite, and then I'll tell you like classic favorite. So I was fortunate enough that I got to see Hamilton on Broadway. It was incredible. So yes, more recent. I love Hamilton. I still listen to the soundtrack to this day. I love it. Probably old school, probably because it had such a profound effect on me at a very profound period of my life. I still love Annie, and I always will. Mm-hmm. I think the music is so great. I think it's a beautiful story. I still love it. Rent is a big one for me too.
Annie's a lot of fun. Annie's one that if there's a local show or a touring show doing Annie, I would go see it pretty much any season for sure.
Yeah, I love Annie. Yeah. And then play-wise, I have always loved the story of The Count of Monte Cristo. And I got to see that at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival a couple years back. And it completely blew my mind. The acting was beautiful. The story has always been captivating to me. I love a revenge story. I always have, always will, period, the end. And it was so well done. So those are probably my favorite plays. So we're getting long-winded here about theater. We've probably lost half of the audience. I don't know.
I think actually a lot of entrepreneur people are theater kids. We want to know, did you do theater? Do you like performing? Let us know.
And I also love Hairspray. Okay, what's making you happy this week?
Okay, well, this conversation is making me happy. I love talking about theater with other theater kids, and I love reminiscing about what it was like to do theater growing up. And even though it was not 100% positive, but I think literally every theater kid could agree with that. So yeah, I think talking to you just always is such a bright spot for me. And this week we meet monthly to talk about like PodFox / VA things. And then we record our YouTube videos, and we had like a bunch of those we recorded this week. And we've recorded 2 podcast episodes this week. So like this week has been a lot of Amanda for me, and that is a huge bright spot. So you're making me happy this week.
Well, thank you so much. That's so nice. So if you are a dog or a pet parent, we'll say a pet parent, if you're a pet parent and you like to travel, one of the biggest caveats for wanting to travel and getting to is having someone to help you with your animals when you're away. It causes so much stress, so much anxiety. What are they doing? Are they happy? Are they comfortable?
This sounds like you're about to go into a sponsored ad, but we don't have the caveat. We don't have any sponsors on this show, but your tone of voice totally sounds like you're going into an ad right now.
No. I'm just setting the stage.
Continue.
I'm just setting the stage. So all those things go through my mind. I stress out about our dogs so badly when I'm away. And we normally would just board them, but we're going on a quick trip. I mentioned it in a previous episode. We're going to go for a quick weekend trip to Nashville to eat at this restaurant we're super excited about. And I recently found this local woman who has a business dog sitting. I'm not going to bore people with all the details, but she has like an app and she sends me daily updates on how they're doing. She comes in, they're going to stay at my house. She's going to come let them out for 30 minutes, 4 times a day, spend time with them, make sure they have everything they need. I get constant updates. You have no idea the peace of mind it has given me and made me so much more excited about upcoming trips, knowing that there's someone that's going to watch my animals. I'm just going to throw this out there because I know they don't listen to the show. I recently had a family member, I'm not going to say who, watch my animals while I was on vacation in Las Vegas, and they ended up having a sleepover slumber party with a bunch of people I did not know. And I was stressed out so much. I was watching it on the Ring camera with horror. I'm like, who are these people? And I don't care, but I also care about how my animals are, and I don't know these people. So anyways, long story short, it's been really great just knowing that I'm going to have someone watch my babies and love them as much as I am. Aww. Even if it's going to cost me a pretty penny, it's totally worth it. What's making you happy? Times two.
Okay. Our favorite, I mentioned in a previous episode that we have this tradition in my family where my dad and I meet in Texas at my brother's. And in Texas, our favorite one of our favorite things about taking that trip is the food. My brother and my sister-in-law are like, they know all the best local spots, and they always take us, even if it's just a local chain. So it might be a chain there, but like it's something that my dad and I don't have. But they know all the coolest like food spots in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so we always eat really, really well when we go there. And one of our favorite like chains to go to when we visit my brother is Torchy's Tacos. And Torchy's has come to Arizona, and they just opened a location this summer, like literally 6 minutes from my house. Like I timed it before it opened, where I like put on my shoes and then started the timer, and I was at the parking lot in 6 minutes, literally. So it's like right around the corner from us, and that is bringing me so much joy because I love Torchy's Tacos. So if you ever are in an area that has a Torchy's, highly recommend. So good.
Okay. You always have the best food recommendation. So
I always have something food related. That's my thing. I do love food.
Yes. I will give a food option as well. Or I'll just tell you a story about food. I planned, there's a restaurant here in Mobile and it's called Noja, N-O-J-A. And it is some of the best food in Mobile. And they have these potatoes and I'm going tomorrow, which is why I'm excited about it, is that I'm going tomorrow to get them. Their potato, I love truffle, like truffle fries are my jam. So anything with truffle, I just love the taste, the smell of it, love it. And they have these sweet potato truffle mashed potatoes, y'all. I asked them how to make them. I bought all the things to do it. Mine do not taste even remotely similar to theirs, but they're absolutely delicious. I'm getting them tomorrow. We're going for a date night tomorrow night because I've been so busy with client launches this week. I haven't even seen Drew. So I'm super duper excited about that. What's the last thing making
That's
you happy?
Awesome. I had one and then I got distracted. Oh, okay. I shared on here before, I think, that we had canceled our Netflix subscription. And my only like real sadness about canceling Netflix, because we realized like we weren't using it. And the one thing that I was really sad about was the lack of opportunity to stream Gilmore Girls, because that's like 50% of our personality, both me and Amanda. So also shout out to you if you have in common with us theater, reading, and Gilmore Girls, then like this is your spot. Anyways, so I had like really missed that. And then some stuff has come out on Netflix since we canceled it that I wished that I was watching, like the new Black Mirror season, the new Witcher season. And I was like, man, now I feel like I would be using Netflix. And the thing is, we have like all the streaming services, you guys, like seriously, we have every freaking streaming service. So I was like, we don't need it. There's so much to watch. Well, I lasted 2 months. I cracked. I reinstated Netflix.
I knew you were.
And I have been watching Gilmore Girls every day since then. And I have all, let me just say, I have all the DVDs. I have every season, including A Year in the Life, on DVD, but it's not the same as just being able to stream it. So I have been streaming Gilmore Girls all day, every day.
I love
since
it.
Since I reinstated
so
it.
Much.
It's
I'm
just,
trying.
It makes me feel like my world is right on its axis again.
Yeah, I feel that. All right. And the last thing that's making me happy this week is that fall is near, my friends. I broke out my butter pecan coffee yesterday and I turned all the fans on me because it's hot as hell in Alabama. And I closed my eyes and I pretended for just a brief moment that the leaves outside were changing, pumpkin spice, everything is flowing. I'm doing baked coffee cake every other day, watching Gilmore Girls, all the things. Hocus Pocus, Halloween
all the
is here.
Fall vibes.
I really do come alive in the fall. Like, I know you think that I have a lot of energy on this podcast. You don't even know me yet in the fall. And there is so much joy and the serotonin just flows through my veins so freely when that crisp air is falling and I'm wearing flannel and there's a fire pit and snacks, y'all. The snacks of the fall. I love soup and sandwich. I make chili every other day. It's just a magical time of year. The smells, oh my God. I cannot even wait. If you're a fall person, you are my people. The people that are like, oh, I'm going to the beach, it's summertime. I do not know you. We are not related. We have nothing in common. I am 100% the best version of myself in the fall. And I cannot wait for it to be here. And it will be here very soon, my friends. July will pass. We will be into August. And when August 1st hits, I am the pumpkin queen. I cannot wait. So,
well, it will be August when this airs. And I totally hear you. It's not July anymore now, but when Hallmark was doing their Christmas in July, I watched a few Christmas movies. I cannot lie. And it does help having like fans pointed at you and watching somebody being cold on TV. Although it kind of works out because they film that in the summer anyway. So they're not cold either. They just look it.
So there you go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love that for you.
Thank you. On that note, you can catch us every Wednesday over on YouTube at Big Brave Business, where we have totally unique content that is separate from this.
We're introducing you to our friends.
Yep, we sure are. So, Sarah, why don't you tell us where they can all find us?
Yeah, make sure, like Amanda said, YouTube at Big Brave Business, Instagram at Big Brave Business, Threads at Big Brave Business. And then on Instagram, you can follow Amanda at Amanda Nelson Reads, Reads like reading books. I guess we've gotten some feedback that that sounds like another name. Like, it's Amanda Nelson Reads, because that's what she does. She reads all the time. Amanda Nelson loves to read. So at Amanda Nelson Reads, and then you can follow me on Instagram at Sarah K. Heater. And we will see you right here next Tuesday.
See you soon.
Bye.